I asked Elena if she would be willing to speak with us this morning. Because on February 9th, she began the first day of a silent meditation retreat in Lyon, where she was invited to teach the retreat for 30 some people. And it was her first solo retreat. Mm-hmm. Major experience in life. A once in a lifetime experience, your first retreat ever. Mm-hmm. And I have curiosities and wanted to ask her how that was for her. What was the experience like? Did she find that her preparations for the retreat in our years together of collaboration was useful? And most of all, I'm wanting to hear from you the real stuff, which I know you pass on very easily. So, after many, many years of retreats, I have some idea of what that experience may have been for you. And I'm very curious to hear from you.
Okay.
What happened before and during the retreat? Mm-hmm. What were the highlights for you? And also, where was the darkness? Where was the trouble? Okay. And there's always both. And how did you do? And anyway, as your teacher, this is a huge moment for me too. Because it's very rare that a teacher is able to witness the fruition of a relationship like ours. It has gone on for years now. And in such a joyous way, I must admit I'm very proud of you. It's no small thing to lead a group of people in the silent meditation retreat of a number of days. It's quite an experience. So, whatever you would like to say is welcome. The highlights and the lowlights.
Okay.
Whatever.
All right.
We have some sirens going on here. Let's pause for a moment.
Well, you know how my mind works, so
a little.
Very structured. So I'll begin with how I felt before.
Good.
And it was mostly this empty, dark something in my belly. I was so, so scared. Very nervous, like almost with nausea even.
That's very unusual for you.
I'm thankful for it because it kind of, in a way, it brought me to the present moment. But I was very, very scared and questioning or doubting a lot. What am I doing? Who do I think I am? What am I going to even teach? I don't have anything to teach. No way, you know, like it's almost like, You know when you didn't do your homework in elementary school and you wished that the teacher didn't show up or something? I wanted something to happen to avoid.
A substitute
teacher. Yes, exactly. Like, I'm sick. Somebody else has to do it. Something. Yes, exactly. Exactly. And
did you ask for help?
Of course I did.
Of course.
Of course I did. And you know, that's part of my routine. And that was actually very soothing. It's part of my routine. You know, when I have my ritual of asking the Dharma to allow me to serve.
That's it.
And
I do that all the time too. Please,
yes,
allow me to serve.
Mm-hmm. And that actually was a beautiful moment, because then the understanding that it was indeed happening, and that it didn't, that it wasn't me making it happen, just being available to be an instrument for the Dharma or of the Dharma, that took care of a lot of the anxiety and a lot of the fear, because this beautiful trust just came, and it was so soothing. Beautiful. And I'm very thankful for that, because that made there was this very subtle yet so important shift in, like, here, okay, here we are. The whole experience was just amazingly magical in so many levels, so many ways. We got there, and Paola, our friend, went to pick us up at the airport, and we drove to the city of León and entered this beautiful, old-fashioned, classical restaurant with fantastic food, with a wonderful waiter, you know, one of those classical, old-school waiters giving a fantastic service. We saw another friend there, and then we just drove to Jalpa, the town where the retreat was taking place. And I remember a path when we finally turned left, and everything was so green and so welcoming, and kind of like a narrow path that took us to the most beautiful pecan orchard ever. So many trees, just row after row, and they didn't have leaves, so they were bare. But standing there with such magnificence, and again, in a beautiful, beautiful welcome gesture, or that's the way that I interpreted it, the place itself was so, so beautiful. All the people. And so we stayed there for the rest of the evening. I went to inspect the place where the meditation was going to take place. They had rented one of those, like those white
tents.
Thank you. That, as they do in Atlixco. And we weren't sure about the size of it, you know, because do you think that everybody will fit here? And just discussing that, and it starts raining. Of course, it starts raining, and we start noticing that the tent is getting wet, and what are we going to do? And that Paola even wanted to change the venue, you know, we could probably go somewhere else. And I'm just looking at the place, and I was commenting it with Aaron. That's a side note. In the work that we do, we solve situations. Right, the pipe is burst. We have to find a plumber fast. So we are used to just seeing a situation as like an almost disaster, and go on a solving mode. But somehow that wasn't happening in this mind at all. I was just looking at the place, and so this openness that I kind of do not recognize in me, just like very serene. And yes, it's raining. I mean, this is Elena, you know, like not worrying about it raining. And so we decided to move the meditation room to, or the area to, just parallel or in front of this tent. We finally went to to sleep, and then I get a text message from Paola telling me that she had found another place, that it was our decision to say, do we leave and go and do it somewhere else or not? And there's just, no, we're not moving, just came out like, no, we're staying. And it rained all day Friday. But I mean, rain, like a lot, like I hadn't seen in a long time. And of course, I assumed that a lot of people wouldn't make it, you know, because it's raining, as if things in other parts of the world also stop when it rains, like it does here. But no, they arrived, 30 of them. And they were like there waiting for the thing to start. And the empty belly, again, like full force. A lot of awareness of truly not knowing a thing. A lot of
beginner's mind.
And somehow, like, when you really, really see it as it is, it stops being scary. Eventually. So,
when you get past the nausea.
Yes. Yes.
Uh-huh. Familiar.
And the whole thing just flowed beautifully. And, you know, with my teddy bear, I had marked a few things that I wanted to include in the Dharma talks. And, of course, the night before I changed everything and not this one, not that one. And in the end, I don't even know how the teachings were chosen. They just were expressed. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful. The meditations were truly magical. The people were very involved in it. The silence was difficult, though, I have to say, because I had a lot of those people who believe that silence is just speaking like this. You know, like people. So a lot of reminders of keeping the silence, of the value of not speaking. Fantastic questions, great comments. A lot of yogi people, a lot of, you know, people who practice yoga, and Aaron's class was just perfect. It had a lot of, it made a lot of sense, the kind of yoga that he practiced with the whole retreat. He did yin and restorative yoga, and everybody but, you know, a couple of people with surgeries or whatever, everybody participated. And you know what it's like with movement in retreats, you know, like everybody shows up the first day, and the second one, you know, there's less and less. No, everybody was participating. They attended all the yoga classes too. The walking meditation was a challenge, especially on Friday, because it was raining. So we decided not to do walking meditation that day, and Aaron guided them in some movement class, which I skipped, and I went to say a zillion, oh my God, to my room. What am I doing? The food was beyond belief. It was so, so good. A beautiful couple were the cooks. What else can I share about the experience? A lot of very deep gratitude. Every moment, a profound gratitude for what I have, for everything that you have taught me with such love, and boy, the patience that you have had with me. So the very deep gratitude for that, for allowing me to observe with all the curiosity, you know, I have, but you were always so generous, so authentic, answering every question I have ever had, just showing me exactly who you are, And for that, I'm deeply, deeply grateful.
That was my commitment to us.
Yes.
Transparency, so that you don't have any huge deceptions about who the teacher is.
Yes.
It helps to know the teacher as a person.
Yes. Yes, and you have always allowed that. And
every retreat from the beginning to the end is a process that happens. The people go through a process together, and it's happening. It may not be commented upon, but the process is ongoing, and you're aware of it as sitting there in your chair. Were there moments in the process that were more difficult than others for you? That's a general question, but.
Well, I can think of one. It was almost a surprise. Part of the process, you know, I'm a very private person in many aspects. Like, I do not share easily. Yet, in that role, I see there's no limit to sharing the experience exactly as it is being felt. And that is surprising.
So there's a freedom.
Yes, there. It's a beautiful freedom.
When you enter that role, you are given the freedom.
Yes.
To be yourself, and you either take it or you run and hide.
Yes.
Depending on the day.
Yes, I guess. But it didn't feel like it was a choice I made. Like I didn't sit there and decide I'm going to share. It just happened. But in retrospect, especially, I think it was the last day that I noticed how intimate the sharing had been, how, free, beautiful. And the exchange, you know, how the comments that people were making, the questions they were asking, the how easily the I have no idea in a couple of answers just came out. You know, like, I don't know. I have no idea. And that felt great. Like, no, I don't know. I don't know.
That's for sure. And what I'm hearing is that you had a renewed appreciation for the Dharma.
Yes. Oh, yes.
It's real, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
What is it? What is it that happens? How would you describe it? I often think of it as being in a stream that's flowing.
Yes. Yes, it's a relaxation, an allowing to be taken, if that makes sense.
Yes. Allowing yourself to be taken.
Yes. And this, the feeling of being lovingly held.
Okay, well, we know that that doesn't just automatically happen for most people. That there's some kind of way you train for that, or you prepare for that to happen. It's not like you arrive and you say, okay, here I am, take me. It's like there's a background of the Dharma holds you to the fire.
Yes, but precisely, I think it doesn't become a reality until you truly commit to the practice.
Yeah.
That's my experience. I cannot imagine feeling this way if I hadn't really committed to the practice, to sitting in the fire, to no matter what, just seeing the experience exactly the way it is and just staying there no matter what.
That that kind of commitment for you, I think, happened several years ago.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I think I remember. And you didn't have to think about it, right?
Actually, what I had to do, or what needed to happen, was to stop thinking, to stop reading, because I noticed that I was playing this game, feeding my intellect more, you know, and but there was a time when I had to leave that behind and just, okay, now really go inside, stop it with the playing. This is your life. And at some point, I just didn't want to miss it anymore.
You stopped reading. You stopped
yes,
looking at material that might trigger yes, something for you.
Yeah.
So you simply gave up to the situation. That you're sitting there as the teacher for these people, and it's your responsibility to offer something.
Yes.
Only you don't know what it is that you have to offer, right?
Yes, exactly.
But something. And then you have to be confident in your heart that when it's needed, you will be there.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Yeah.
It's terrifying at times, isn't it?
Yes, and you know, like many doubts that attack at once, and then... yes, but the trust that being lovingly held comes back and sustains.
Held by what? Lovingly held.
By the Dharma,
yes,
by this life in all its magnificence. I mean, all the expressions of life happening there. There were three horses around. There were so many bees and hummingbirds and all sorts of different birds, and the sounds, the trees, every single plant, the bougainvilleas, everything there, just such a magnificent celebration of life. That's what holds us.
And you were awake to it. Yeah.
Yes.
And receiving.
Yes.
That's the word, isn't it? Receiving.
Yes, exactly. Receiving. And the beautiful people, I cannot tell you enough. The youngest person was probably, I don't know, around 27, early 30s, and the oldest one, 70-something. Magnificent or wonderful teams of... mother, father, and daughter, or mother and son, mother and daughter. And that was also very inspiring to see. I love seeing that.
That's not so usual.
No, it's not. There were several of them.
I thought of you so many times during that retreat, trying to tune in to how is it? How's it going?
And did you like my text messages?
Yes. Yes. Of course.
It was also a treat for me to be able to do this in my mother tongue, to do it in Spanish. I'm grateful that it happened that way. It wasn't planned. But I'm grateful that it happened that way. It was easier to connect directly and to express.
Translation is an added element, isn't it?
It can be. Yes, it can be.
I can't imagine it. We're also talking about our relationship.
Yes.
And the relationship between teacher and student. one of the people in the retreat, Grandma, called yesterday to tell me that how wonderful you were as a teacher. He said that you owned that retreat, which I thought was very high compliment coming from him.
Yes.
And he spoke about how that I must be very satisfied that for a teacher to have that happen, the student take the teaching and then manifest it in your own way.
Yes.
That's the big trick, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
For your uniqueness to come forth rather than being some kind of copy of me.
Yes.
That never works, really. Mm-hmm. It has to be coming genuinely out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew it would. I told you I knew that.
Yeah.
But, of course, that didn't...
Yeah, that didn't mean much to me.
No, it didn't. I told you that I had seen you standing in the stream of Dharma many times, and that I knew it, that you were there, and it would not stop just because it was February 9th, that it would continue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? That's how it works.
Yes, but it was, I mean, you know it. It took a long time for me to even accept it. I didn't want this. I didn't ask for it. I didn't think it was the right thing.
Right. Same would happen that way with me, too.
Yeah.
When my teacher empowered me, I put up a big resistance. And he actually had a gathering happen and tricked me into coming to the gathering. And in that gathering, he empowered me to teach because I had said, no, I won't. I'm going to be a spiritual teacher. Come on.
Exactly.
You know you're talking to?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's a wonderful relationship.
Mm. Yes, it is. And one that keeps giving. And the whole process, the way that it has evolved, it's just wonderful. And as I say, it keeps giving.
Yes. We're sitting here right now kind of glorifying in the manifestation of what we're talking about. And hopefully conveying the notion that the relationship is a transmission that's personal.
Yes.
And it must be that way.
Mm-hmm.
And Vipassana, traditionally, down through the ages, has been a verbal transmission from teacher to student.
Yeah.
And you and I are in a long line of recipients. I am very happy. I'm actually more happy for your successful retreat than I ever was for my own. That somehow it's more important that you took something and made it your own, and that's been proven.
Yes.
So here we are. I don't know how often that happens in life, but I think it's very unique, particularly in Dharma teaching, because of the personal transmission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, and again and a million times, thank you, thank you, thank you.
I remember in the phone call when you returned, you said to me, I don't know how you did it, but you did. You said it to me, and I realized, I don't know either how it happened, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And when you said, I don't know how you did it, of course, for me it was, I didn't. No one did it. And that's the wonder of it.
Yes.
It's a teacher-student relationship is mysterious. Mysterious and powerful. And it's a kind of love that is bottomless. It's endless. Deep.
Yeah. Yes.
And neither of us asked for it. Well, we must have, but not overtly.
Mm-hmm.
No, you didn't start working with me because you wanted to teach.
No.
It was the furthest thing from your mind, right?
Yes.
I remember very clearly the day I saw that you were going to.
Mm.
You were in it was in a retreat in Serendipity,
uh-huh.
And I looked up and you were sitting in the front row, and I saw that tears were running down your face, and I realized then, oh, here we are. You're receiving.
Mm.
You're getting it.
Yes.
It's so moving.
Yes. Yes. It was actually around that time when I had been very committed to the practice for a while. So I guess the teachings were really
getting
you. Getting, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It's like, the Dharma is so mysterious, it's so real, but so immaterial, you mm-hmm. can't put your hand on it anywhere.
Yes.
So, Dharma, people ask me, what is it?
Yeah. Yes.
The best description I've ever had come to me was, it's a study of how things happen.
Mm-hmm.
How things happen. With the emphasis on happen, mm-hmm. just happen.
Yes.
Well, what we have encountered together and have, I think, the right to celebrate is that it has happened.
Mm-hmm.
You are teaching retreats now. You are a Dharma teacher. And from all the reports I get, a really wonderful one. How about that? Huh? Can you handle it? Guillermo said, Robert, you know she owned that retreat. I know what he meant.
My deep gratitude to this beautiful Sangha. You've been a very important support to me, to us.
To Alvaro.
Well, to Alvaro. Yes.
Right. What can you say?
What can you say? He's the walking Dharma.
Yes. Walking Dharma. Well, you've been through the initial initiations, and now the future holds, I think, for you many retreats.
We already have the next date to go back to Guanajuato. The end of August, beginning of September. Yes. So.
And we have one in Pachamama.
Pachamama, and we have.
In March.
And we have Tijuana in.
April.
April, May.
Mm-hmm. I think it would be good to say something just about retreats in general. We're both enthusiasts,
yes,
aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
To tell people
good point.
Who have not been mm-hmm. on a retreat, oh, you must find out. It's inevitable after the retreat that person says, I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
Yes.
And that you can't really have any idea
You've been there. Yeah. Yes. And just having the opportunity to stop for a bit, just stop for a bit.
And be totally
And be totally, yes.
Food,
mm-hmm.
accommodations.
Yes. And
teachings. And there's no expectation
mm-hmm.
for you to do anything.
Yeah. It's a true rest in so many ways.
And when you're resting, and I think of that as beginner's mind too,
mm-hmm.
when you're resting, that's when the insight comes.
Yes.
In the spaces,
mm-hmm.
not in thought,
yeah.
not in intellectualizing.
Mm-hmm.
The insight and the understanding comes in the spaces in between.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yes.
Very wonderful. And you can hear people say that forever, but it really happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when you see that it does, then it's like, and more openness and more rest.
Gratitude.
Mm. Oh, the deepest one.
Then there are the traps, the ego tricks.
Yeah.
That I'm sure we'll be talking about over the years.
Oh,
also.
Yeah.
The ego jumps in no matter who you are and says, oh, I'm special.
Look what I did.
Look at that. I'm teaching Dharma. Wow, yeah. Wow, I must be somebody. Wow.
Mm.
Unusual, and that one is very dangerous.
Yeah.
There's a kind of inflation
mm-hmm.
that every new teacher falls into, and old ones also.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it historically, particularly in the last 30, 40 years, so many Dharma spiritual teachers have fallen
mm-hmm.
from scandal and
mm-hmm.
dishonesty.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very difficult role.
Mm-hmm.
To carry,
yes,
this role. It's a kind of. It demands a kind of perfection that you cannot manufacture.
Mm.
A purity,
purity.
Of commitment and intention, mm-hmm. huh?
Yes, and you've been very clear about that too. And I feel I have a group of spiritual friends that are very aware of that too. And I lay on, you know, that I rely on their pulling my hair if I ever get.
Yes.
Yes, honestly. And
oh.
you know that I mean it. It's,
oh, yes, I do. What you're talking about is so valuable. It's,
yes.
This is the jewel
mm-hmm.
that we covet and hold.
Mm-hmm.
The feedback that comes to you mm-hmm. from people who care.
Yes.
People who love you.
Mm-hmm.
They want to tell you what the truth is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yes.
It's important.
Oh, yeah.
Spiritual friends.
Mm-hmm.
Love is always the ground of Dharma practice. So interesting because in all of the Buddhist sutras and scriptures, the word love never appears. I hunted and hunted looking for, what does he say about love? He never said anything about love.
Yet it's all about love.
But that's what it's about. Yes. The closest is in the practice of metta, of mm-hmm. loving kindness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
but it's about love. Love for the experience of life. Maybe people have other questions about
yes.
this. We decided beforehand, just in a moment, that we would speak some about the teacher-student relationship. It isn't talked about often, but it's
perfect science.